Happy holidays, one and all, and welcome to the Spirit Side in search of Periorantian phenomenon. Tis the season where people are celebrating Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and everyone's getting ready for the new year that's coming upon us rather quickly. 2023 went by in a blur. I don't even know where the year went. It seems like yesterday it was Christmas 2022, but here we are, you know, making the cycle of the seasons once again. So however you celebrate, whatever holiday or holy day, I hope everyone listening to this show will bring a little bit of spirituality into their holiday or holy day and not let the social consumerism permeate your holiday season. There is a reason for these seasons, so let's celebrate them with our hearts, our minds, and our souls in the right direction. So this week on the podcast, keeping with my podcasting tradition since I started out years ago, I generally like to do some holiday shows, and the next couple of episodes this week and next week are going to have more of a holiday flavor, strange things that happen during the holiday, or in my case, the Christmas season. And next week, I'm going to tell you guys the final show for the year before we break and come back in 2024. I'm going to tell you guys a story of something very bizarre that happened to me the Christmas Eve of the year 2000. And it's odd. Some people are probably going to think I'm crazy or that I'm making it up. But it was one of the most peculiar yet blessed things that ever happened to me. You know, not all paranormal phenomenon is scary or spooky. Sometimes it's very enlightening or beautiful, and it brings us peace. And when those moments happen, it really just reassures me that we're not alone. Someone up there and out there is looking out for us. They care about us. They care about our well-being and our peace of mind. And I'm going to share this story with you guys next week, and probably the ITC session based around what happened to me at that time. What comes through on the spirit box about what happened Christmas Eve night 2000? So this will be very interesting for me to delve into, and I hope it is for you guys as well. So this week, keeping with our UFO theme, I want to talk to everyone about UFOs in the winter skies. Did you know, and I'm pretty sure this still stands in the study of ufology, that the months of November, December, January, and sometimes bleeding into February are the most popular months where people frequently see mysterious or unknown lights in the sky. And again, this can bleed back a little bit into like October, but that November, December, January seems to be very, very busy times in our skies. And I've been going out and doing a little sky watching this particular winter and Christmas season. I haven't seen anything yet, but I'm trying some new techniques based on Dr. Stephen Greer's technique of CE5 contact that is initiated by humans pretty much summoning these lights or orbs to appear. So I've been trying some different techniques. So far, no luck, but we'll see. And this is something I want to continue to do, because next to paranormal investigations with spirits and ghosts, I'm really fascinated with ufology. And, you know, so one has to wonder, I mean, there are summer months too. I know July is a pretty active time of year, like July, August, June, July. Those seem to be very, active summer months. But, this is the time of year. If you're a sky watcher, if you're hoping to catch a glimpse of a UFO, this is the time of year to go out with the binoculars, the telescope, and just watch the skies. And, you know, last week I talked about Chris Bledsoe and the UFO of God book. And at the end of the book, the final chapter, he says that, you know, anyone can experience this. Anyone can experience a UFO sighting on purpose. And he says the story begins with him and continues with you. And according to Chris Bledsoe, he says we don't have to, you know, get into all of this very fancy way of, you know, calling the UFOs or trying to summon them to us. We don't have to memorize all kind of meditations and big words and terminologies and go through all kind of rigors. He says that it's as simple as going out, centering your heart and mind, being in the right frame of mind, the right frame of heart, that you want to make this kind of contact. Be prepared for it. Do it for the right reasons, because you want to do it for your own spiritual growth. Maybe as a representative of higher beings on this planet. Just center your heart and your mind. Pick a point in the night sky and simply say, I am here and I am ready. So next time I go out into the field, which will probably be this coming weekend or next week sometime, I'm going to try the Bledsoe technique and see what happens. And yes, I will have my phone at the ready, so that if I do see anything and I'm allowed to film it, I will certainly get that on camera for all of you to witness as well. But let's talk about these mysterious lights in the winter sky. You know, it's no surprise, and I'm sure many of you listening to this podcast have heard this hypothesis before, that the Star of Bethlehem was not actually a star. It wasn't a comet. It wasn't anything, a natural body in the night sky. That it was actually some form of UFO, because it moved and it guided the Magi to the birthplace of Christ. And there's an interesting book called The Revelation of the Magi by Martin Landau. I might have his first name wrong, but the book is Revelation of the Magi. The last name of the author is Landau. And this is a book that you can still get it paperback. You can still get it in hardcover. You can get it in audiobook if you have Audible. And I think you can also get it on audiobook on CD. But this was a manuscript that the author found in the Vatican archives. He was down there doing some kind of research. and he came across this manuscript that was supposedly about the Magi, who they were, where they came from, why they were following the star. And according to this book, they were individuals who went to a sacred mountain every month, and there was what was called the Cave of Treasures, and there were certain old writings in there, and they would go there and they would read these writings, and they would pray and worship God in silence in their minds. You know, they were more mental prayer, so very mystical. And they had this book that it was supposedly written by Seth, the son of Adam. And Adam dictated these things to Seth, and Seth wrote them down. And, of course, it was passed on to Noah before the flood, and Noah preserved them, you know, after the flood up to a certain time. But this book says that the prophecy of the Magi, that one day a great light will appear to them, and it will have the appearance of a star, and it will lead them to this place where, you know, the incomprehensible God is actually taking on human form here on planet Earth. And it talks about in the manuscript that Seth wrote, as told by Adam, that this star, this light, used to hover above the tree of life in the garden, and it illuminated the garden with its light. And when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, when they did what they did, the light, the star, was taken away, and it moved back up into heaven. That's a very interesting story, speaking of the Star of Bethlehem being a UFO. And in this book, I don't want to spoil the whole thing for anybody that reads it, but it says in this manuscript that as the Magi were traveling through the desert following the star, you know, and it would move and it would guide them, that there was also this child, this boy of light that would come out of the star. And he would walk with the Magi, and he would talk to them. And I think it kind of insinuates that this was the spirit of Christ, you know, coming out of the light that looked like a star, guiding the Magi to where he was going to incarnate into this baby at his birth. So, you know, to me, this little book, The Revelation of the Magi, is very mystical. And the imagery, you know, the star over, you know, the tree of life illuminating the garden, the star, you know, leading the Magi, and the boy of light that would come out and walk with them and talk to them occasionally. You know, it just sounds to me it's very mystical, and it does bring about images, you know, conjure images in the mind of UFO, you know, UFOs in the Chris Bledsoe sense, that they're not material craft. They're actually orbs of light. And, you know, there was, and you don't hear too much about it today in ufology, but it seems to be something that's a theory that's creeping back in some areas, where they're talking about the UFO might not be a craft per se, but an extension of the being. And you read in Jewish mysticism about, I think it's called the Merkaba, you know, the light body that surrounds, you know, high spiritual beings or even human beings. And they travel, you know, through the cosmos or eternity in this sphere of light, you know, called the Merkaba. And you know, there's again, you know, certain ufologists who talked about the UFO being an extension of the being. And you think about the Foo Fighters and World War II, which is interesting because when the Foo Fighters were around the planes in World War II, if you read a lot of the accounts, it said that they were red and green. And there was kind of the joke that, oh, you know, they're, you know, it's Santa and his helpers, you know, making the rounds, you know, getting ready to, you know, make the rounds around the Earth on Christmas Eve. But the Foo Fighters, these were balls of light that, you know, would come out of nowhere during World War II. And they would hover by the airplanes, you know, they'd done just crazy maneuvers, you know, sharp turns. And the United States, you know, Air Force, you know, we saw them, the Allies saw them, the Germans saw them. Everybody thought that they were everybody else's secret weapons. But again, they were just balls of light. And there were times when the pilots would open fire on, you know, these Foo Fighters, and the shells would just go right through them. You know, they were like transparent. They weren't solid. You know, they couldn't be hit with our ammunition, our bullets. So, you know, this idea of the UFO being an extension of, you know, the extraterrestrial or the angel or the being, whoever it is that's you know, being seen in the sky or visiting a person, is not something that's uncommon in our spiritual mythology and our ancient spiritual manuscripts. And even in the study of ufology, where they're saying some of these things don't appear to be physical craft. I know for me, during my particular angel encounter that I speak of now and then, and, you know, there were lights in the sky and, you know, the kind of the whole UFO phenomenon that was kind of attached to it. Not in great abundance, but it was there. And I have to say, looking back, I don't think what I saw at that time, and I always had this impression, I didn't feel like it was a nuts and bolts craft that this being was flying around, and I felt like it was something else, especially the way at times it would look different or look different on the inside. When I had opportunity to see the inside, which sounds crazy, but you know, I did. It went from being just like a room of nothingness but bright white light to being like the inside of a craft with, you know, chairs and tables and, or not chairs, but, you know, chairs and screens and gadgets, you know. So it almost seemed to me like the angel was manipulating or manifesting the visuals of what I was seeing or allowed to see in that particular craft. I remember I wrote in my book, the first time I saw, you know, experienced this angelic being, it started with a little light in the sky that got bigger and bigger, and it came right down in the backyard of my parents' house, right outside the bedroom window. And it was like this enormous, you know, disc-shaped object with a row of windows that seemed to go around the perimeter. And, you know, I remember as I wrote in the book thinking, how did something so big, how did something that seems so enormous fit in our little tiny backyard without, you know, knocking over trees or, you know, smashing into the side of the house, you know? And it wasn't, you know, many years, just a handful of years ago, you know, reading things with, you know, in quantum physics where I don't even understand how in different dimensions that certain particles that might seem very large could fit into a very small space in our, you know, three-dimensional reality. So there was a lot there that just really, as I hearken back, seems to say that there was more to it all than what met the eye. And there's things I'm still pondering and learning and going, oh yeah, and oh my gosh, and holy cow, I remember, you know, fill in the blank. So it's an experience that keeps revealing itself in different ways. So suffice to say, UFOs not being physical objects that are perhaps an extension or the Merkaba, if you will, of higher dimensional heavenly celestial beings. It's also very interesting to note that when we talk about mysterious lights and UFOs in the winter sky, there have been accounts where people have said they witnessed what looked like a sleigh with Santa Claus. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but again, I would reference you to a book called The Xmas Files by Ralph Betters. Sometimes it goes under the title of Claus Encounters, like Santa Claus, Claus Encounters. And this author, Ralph Betters, took a lot of stories from, I don't know if the website is still up. It was paranormalabout.com. I'm not sure if it was paranormalabout.com or just about.com. It's one or the other. And there were a lot of different people that shared their stories on there. And there was a section where people shared their encounters during the holiday season, whether they saw multicolored craft, you know, the lights that were red and blue and green that almost looked like, you know, a flashing, you know, Christmas tree or Christmas lights in the sky, and people who said that they saw something that resembled a sleigh. Now, a couple people, you know, in the Xmas Files, shared that it looked like the typical sleigh with the reindeer. And there were others who say it looked like a sleigh, but there were no reindeer. And I remember, I'm actually rereading this book. I haven't read it in you know, a number of years, but this holiday season I decided to reread it. And I just read the encounter where there was a gentleman that came home. I think I don't remember if he was coming home with his wife and family or whether it was a friend and neighbor that was in the car with him because they had gone to you know, a Christmas party or some such thing. But when they got home and they pulled in the guy's driveway, the account is that there was something that looked like a sled hovering over his house and it was illuminated. And there was a man sitting in it dressed. He looked just, you know, kind of like the typical Santa Claus. You know, there were no reindeer. There was just this craft hovering. It was illuminated and it just took off into the sky. And, you know, there's numerous accounts of this, people that see this sleigh like you know, illuminated or with lights on it, no reindeer, just kind of wishing, you know, through the sky right over their head. You know, at Christmas time or Christmas Eve night. And it makes me wonder, and this, again, pairing with the story I want to tell next week, which is really bizarre, and it would fall into the category of a paranormal clause encounter. I'll share that much. I wouldn't believe these stories if I hadn't seen a couple of things myself. And the one, I was probably, I want to say that I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And my parents' house, when they first moved there, it used to be, it was a neighborhood that my mother grew up in, actually, and she lived in the house next door to the house that my parents eventually bought. And it was a little convenience store. The owners had a little store in the front. They lived in the back of the house, and they had, there was a gas pump in the front yard, and there were these two big, huge glass windows in the front. They were just gigantic on either side of the front door. And I remember going over by the one window closer to the cellar door on Christmas Eve. It was kind of an overcast Christmas Eve, as I recall. And I looked out of the window, and I was looking at the neighbor's property across the road. And, you know, there was their house, and then it went up into this, like, field, and there was a row of trees that started by the road and then wrapped around in the back of their house. And I saw it came from up over, you know, my house, right on the tree line across the road, over just over the tree line. It wasn't high in the sky. And it was shaped, and I swear to God, hand to God on this, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was just one of those things that stuck in my mind. It was shaped, it was shaped like a sled. It didn't have runners on it like a sled, but it was that classic, like, high back L-shaped sled. And it was dark in color. There wasn't any reindeer, there weren't any lights. I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, is, you know, because I still, you know, believed in Santa Claus, you know, back in those days. I remember thinking, oh my God, is that Santa's sleigh? And I was looking, trying to see if there was somebody sitting, you know, sitting there. I didn't see anybody. I didn't see any wings. There was no propeller noise. It wasn't a jet because it was far too low. It was just over the treetops. And this thing just glided over the treetops into the distance and disappeared. And it wasn't going super fast. You know, it was going at a slow to moderate speed, just drifting across silently across the treetops. So it makes me wonder, you know, when people see these odd lights in the winter sky, particularly this time of year, are these things taking on a shape or an image that we understand? And if so, why? You know, I don't, some people would say, is it to trick us in some way, deceive us in some way? Is it their way of just kind of giving us that holiday moment, saying, hey, look, we're benevolent, we mean no harm, and we're just showing you something, you know, if they could manipulate that Merkaba, that ball of light that's around them, that where it could look translucent, it could look solid, it could look like a craft, it could look just like light in the sky. If they have the ability to change the shape and the image of that, do they sometimes take the shape of these holiday lights or sleds or, you know, whatever it might be that kind of has this holiday Yuletide imagery to it? Because, you know, again, if you're interested in this kind of thing, I would recommend the Xmas Files or Claws Encounters by Ralph Betters. You can get Kindle version and paperback on Amazon.com, and it's just interesting. A lot of these stories that he shares from About or ParanormalAbout.com, where people have seen these lights in the sky that take on images of a season that many are celebrating at this particular time of year. And I wonder again, you know, what the reason is for that. I don't feel in my heart necessarily that it's something bad or deceptive or trying to trick people in any way. And again, when I share my story next week, which is, you know, doesn't have to do with UFOs, but it's a very spiritual story. This is again why I agree with Chris Bledsoe, and I've had this thought for years since I had my, you know, angel encounter in, you know, November of 1979. I've said for years, I think this whole UFO phenomenon is connected with angels, celestial beings, God. I don't believe it's all demonic, like you hear a lot of these fundamentalists always, you know, ranting about. And people always looked at me like I had two heads. Oh, I don't know about that, or you get this thing. Well, you know, you better not, you know, play around with that kind of thing too much. You know, just keep it simple. You know, to think outside the box was considered dangerous. And I think, you know, and I agree, we have to be careful. Like I was talking about last week in the UFO of God podcast, we have to test the spirits or the being. I don't care if it's coming out of a spiritual portal. I don't care if it's coming out of a UFO. I don't care if it's a gray or a reptilian or a, you know, Arcturian or whatever people call them. I think we always have to test the spirits. We always have to be careful with any of this kind of phenomenon. It's never advisable just because it seems good to say, oh, it must be good. I'm gonna throw myself trustingly, you know, into this, you know, into this encounter with this being, because that's, you know, there's a lot of folks in the New Age movement who have done that. Oh, this is a spirit guide. Oh, this is, you know, something good. And then it's good for a while, sometimes kind of a long while, but then all of a sudden it takes kind of a dark turn, and these are the people that, you know, end up walking into churches going, oh my God, I think I got a demon, help me, I don't know anything about this. You know, we we have to be careful and not be, you know, foolish about this kind of thing. But I think it's all connected in some way. And I think if we, again, as I always say, if we read the Bible and the Urantia book and we pray and we meditate and we study and we read and we look at these things that have been written and also other religious manuscripts, we start to see kind of a thread that, yeah, this is more than just little green men from Mars or Venus flying around in our night skies and our winter skies. So, again, I hope this will bring a little more clarity next week when I share my story. But yeah, it's interesting. So I would definitely recommend the book Xmas Files or Claws Encounters, it's sometimes called, by Ralph Betters. I would definitely recommend The Revelation of the Magi by Mr. Landau. And again, his first name escapes me. I'm sorry about that. But good stuff, you know, to really get some ideas about, you know, the Star of Bethlehem, UFOs. UFOs being so, you know, prevalent and busy this time of year, and why? Why? You know, are they bringing, you know, are they kind of like the angels of old, and they're wanting to, you know, bring us peace on earth, goodwill toward men? Look up, stop looking at the secular world around you and all of its trappings and nonsense. You know, do they have a message? But do we have to be open to that message? You know, I also think there's a lot of fear. You know, I think religion painting everything, you know, they see a light in the sky, automatically it's the devil. I think a lot of people are afraid. A lot of people are suspicious. You know, so how would angels or celestials approach people these days that are so suspicious of every little thing? Or maybe they're not, it's not God's timing for them to reveal themselves on such a large scale. It's hard to tell. But it's incredibly fascinating subject for me. And, you know, if it is for you, I would certainly read those books. There's another book whose, I'm terrible with these authors' names, I apologize. I'll get the author's name next week. It's a book, it's called We Come in Peace. And it's about positive encounters with UFOs and extraterrestrials. So, you know, it definitely shows that it's not all evil and demons and terrible and deception. So good stuff. Good stuff to study, to think about, to ruminate. And if you want to see a UFO, hey, this is prime time to see it. Go outside. Go right out in your own backyard. You know, take the binoculars. Take the telescope. Like I said, watch the sky. Use this Stephen Greer CE5 technique. He has an app that walks you right through it. It has everything you need to know. You can buy it for $10 in the Google Play Store. You know, I bought the app when it came out. I think it's pretty cool. I've been using it. I've been doing the meditations when I go out. And you could also use the Chris Bledsoe technique. Just center your heart, your mind, pick a point in the night sky and say, I'm here and I'm ready. And just see what happens. You know, see if the orbs and the lights will appear and give you a glimpse of something that could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity or something that changes your life from that point onward for the better, I might add. So thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I'm sorry I'm a little nasally toward the end. Winter weather, you know, my sinuses dry out and my nose just picks its time and place to completely close off, and I can't breathe whatsoever through it, but such is life. I need a nasal probe by the extraterrestrials. Clear all that out. But thanks for listening, everybody. And hey, if you go out and watch the skies, if you see anything, if you have an encounter, drop me an email. If you want to be on the show and talk about what you've seen, if any of the CE5 or Chris Bledsoe techniques worked for you and what happened, come on the show. You know, let's talk about it. It's good to share these things with like-minded others and, you know, just start to form a community of folks that think outside the box and know there's more to life and even our spirituality and religion than what we have been given over the years. So thank you again for listening. I appreciate it. Until next time, stay in love, stay in the light, watch the skies, and I'll see you next time here on the Spirit Side in search of Parirenchian Phenomenon. God bless everybody.